This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan. With me, Tan Chung Han and Joyce Goh. It's no longer a trade war. Analysts are saying it's a currency war as well. This is after U.S. President Donald Trump accused China and the European Union of manipulating their currencies and interest rates. On the line, we have Khun Goh, Head of Research at ANZ Research in Singapore. Good morning, Khun. Thank you so much for joining us. I want to begin with that those comments by President Trump. What do you make of it?
Good morning. I think it's clearly a case of President Trump being frustrated at the strength of the U.S. dollar, which had been rallying almost in a straight line since about April, which, of course, will be eroding U.S. Export competitiveness, but also particularly with the decline in the Chinese yuan, helping to negate the effects of the U.S. tariff on Chinese goods.
Hi, Khun. The Chinese central bank appears willing to let the yuan slide already at its weakest in a year. So what could be some catalysts that could prompt a PBOC intervention?
Well, Chinese authorities have largely been hands-off in terms of managing their exchange rate since about early 2017. Despite fluctuations in the Chinese yuan, they have largely allowed market forces to dictate where the currency goes. So the weakness in the yuan, particularly from about mid-June, was largely led by the market in response to the escalation in U.S.-China tariffs. At what level the authorities might seek to come in, I think, is an open question. I think most people thought that when the yuan went past 670, that would have been the line in the sand. But their absence suggests that the authorities remain quite comfortable with further weakness in the yuan. So at this particular stage, the Chinese authorities show no willingness to want to step in. They are quite comfortable with the market continuing to drive the Chinese yuan. And perhaps the hands-off approach by the Chinese authorities is one way such that the U.S. Is not able to actually label them a currency manipulator, because they have actually not been active at all in the FX market.
Right, Khun. So if you can flesh it out for us, because we understand that China has tried to liberalize its financial markets, right, i.e. less government intervention. So is PBOC intervention still a base case for markets? Can we still expect that moving forward?
Well, judging by what they have been doing in the last few months, it suggests that they are now quite comfortable with just letting the markets set the price of the yuan. It shows that they are willing to be more tolerant of volatility in the yuan. And if market forces dictate that the yuan weakens, then they are quite comfortable allowing it to happen. We haven't really seen what particular level or whether there's a new line in the sand at this particular stage. I think some people are now talking about 7 as the potential next key level. We're still some way off that. But I think the new way that Chinese authorities are managing the currency nowadays is pretty much a hands-off approach, letting the currency be more determined by the market and really taking more of a hands-off approach.
Now, Khun, this coming Thursday, the 26th of July, the European Central Bank is scheduled a monetary policy meeting. How much do you think Trump's comments are going to weigh on Mario Draghi's mind?
I doubt that Trump's latest comments will have much sway over monetary policy, particularly in the ECB. I think in the ECB's case, they've already stated quite clearly in their last meeting that they'll be looking to end their QE program in December and will be looking to hike interest rates in the summer of 2019, that's around middle of next year. And nothing in the latest developments on the economic front suggests that the ECB will make any material shift from that position. I'm sure ECB President Mario Draghi will be asked for comment about Trump's tweets. I expect him to be fairly diplomatic and nicely avoid any direct speculation about Trump's intentions.
Khun, how do you think all of this will impact emerging market currencies?
Well, Trump's tweets has the potential to signal a turning point for the U.S. dollar. I think it's important to remember this is not the first time that President Trump has vented his frustration over a strong U.S. dollar. He did that over early 2017, in April 2017, in fact, when he mentioned that a strong U.S. dollar was bad for U.S. companies. And that just about marked a turning point for the dollar, where the dollar started a multi-month decline. So it is possible that his latest comments could spark a turnaround in the U.S. dollar, leading to renewed weakness. If that's the case, that will put a lot of respite for emerging market currencies, including the ringgit, which have been under pressure in the last few months. And we could start to see a bit of a recovery across the EMFX universe.
Now, Kun, we have spoken about the PBOC, we have spoken about the ECB. Let's turn our attentions to Malaysia's Central Bank, because they have only got two more scheduled monetary policy meetings, I believe. Do you think the new Central Bank Governor, Dato Noor Shamsiah Mohamed Yunis, she would have to pull the trigger on the OPR in light of what's happening on the global FX universe?
I think that the Bank Negara Malaysia is most likely to put the OPR on hold for the rest of this year. They hiked rates early in the year in response to high inflation and a strong performing economic recovery back then. But it seems like economic activity has started to slow, and with the potential downside risks from the U.S.-China trade tensions spilling over into the region, I think the prudent course of action would be to keep the OPR as it is. In addition, I think the central bank would also want to see what the new Pakatan Harapan government's economic and fiscal policies will be, and that will only be unveiled at the budget in November. So all these suggest that the Bank Negara will leave the OPR exactly where it is for the rest of this year.
But even as it is, the confidence levels here in Malaysia among domestic stakeholders, they are at multi-year highs. Business confidence at a six-year high, consumer confidence highest in 21 years. So do you think this will be a significant buffer against global risks towards the Malaysian economy, you think?
Well, the surge in confidence across both consumers and businesses is a welcome development. That's largely down to the post-election bump. But whether or not confidence can translate into actual real economic activity, I think remains to be seen. But certainly, high confidence does have the potential to be self-fulfilling. And in the current uncertain global backdrop, I think a bit of confidence is actually a good thing. Now, looking at various confidence measures, it does suggest that, at least on the part of consumers who are benefiting from zero GST, at least until the SSD kicks in, we can expect a bit more of a pent-up demand to spur consumer spending. For business confidence, hopefully that will translate through into increased private sector business investment, sufficient enough to offset some of the deferred infrastructure spending program under the new government.
Thank you so much, Kun. That was Kun Goh, Head of Research at ANZ Research in Singapore. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.